Do you think perhaps God has put you in this particular church or this particular ministry or this particular environment so that you could be the agent of help? We think, well, it's a church. They're Christians. They should be doing that right. And we have so much patience for the lost and we want to reach the lost, but we have very little patience for the saved who are just clueless on how to do church well. If we're going to pursue health, there is a risk involved. There's a risk of feelings getting hurt, but there's a bigger risk if we don't say anything. Today, we're talking about three things to consider before you throw in the towel in youth ministry.
Welcome to the Ministry Coach Podcast, where we bring you weekly tips and tactics to help you fast track the growth and health of your youth ministry. My name is Jeff Lascola, and this is...
Kristen Lascola. Wow, you did that in one take. Normally, we have to cut because he can't say
that. I'm sure I'll add some other outtakes as we go on. If you haven't ever stayed to the end of our episodes, like if you got too bored and you clicked off...
It's my favorite part.
There actually is bloopers at the end because usually, yeah, I can't get through any intro without messing up. Anyways, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so this is a question that has come up recently of things to consider before you make the decision to quit your job in youth ministry.
Like before you're going to throw in the towel because you're...
Yeah, maybe you've reached the end of your rope and you're like, I'm going to offer my resignation. Consider these three things before you do, because there is a time to quit. That's not what we're talking about today. I mean, maybe it is time to quit. I don't know. But just before you take that leap, before you take that jump, before you put in the resignation, let's just stop and talk about a couple things real quick. Us, me and you. Let's talk about it.
And I'll just listen in. So go ahead.
And you, Jeff, you can talk too. Okay. So number one, before you quit, ask yourself this question. Is this problem that I'm dealing with, and maybe it's not just one problem. Most of the time when people are ready to quit, it's very complex. It's a very complicated issue. It's not just like this person did this, therefore I'm quitting. Most of us have more stamina than that, but it's complicated. So I just want you to think through it. Is the complication, is the problem, is the issue, is the reason I'm ready to throw in the towel likely seasonal? Is this something that had a beginning and most likely will have an end? And I'm not saying the end will be tomorrow or in a week. The season could last a year or two, but is it just a seasonal problem that has got you just by the throat and you can't see any way out except to quit? But if you waited, even if you had to wait a while, it might be over. So an example of that kind of problem is maybe you have a really rough class. I've heard youth pastors say, you know, we got this email this summer and this one broke my heart. It was about this youth pastor and he was super close with the kids and they loved him and they were all like in harmony till they went to summer camp. And then something happened and everyone turned their back on him and he couldn't get the relationships back and the youth group was splitting and all these things that were so traumatic, you know, so painful that would make you want to quit.
Yeah.
But those kids eventually will be gone, especially if you just do one ministry. Like if you're the junior high and high school person, you're going to have those kids for a long time. That's going to be a long season. But for me, sometimes when I have a class that challenges me to the point where I'm like, where do I even work? Is this a youth ministry or a
prison,
like a juvenile detention center or something? I think to myself, they will graduate at some point. They are not going to be...
They may not graduate, but they just won't be in your ministry anymore. They'll age out of it.
Don't drop out of school, kids. But yeah, it could be that, and maybe it's their parents also that are just adding fuel to this drama and this fire, and their parents don't like you. And then the parents are talking and your approval rating is going down and all these things, and you're trying and you've just had it. They will not be there forever. I mean, the amount of students, families, parents that have come and go in my ministry, it's just like after you've been in it for a while, there's some really meaningful people you remember, but it's like yeah, that was a season. They yeah. came and they went. Or maybe it's the church leadership. Believe it or not, church leadership usually does change at some point. Maybe you're one of the ones that you've got a tough senior pastor and he's not going anywhere. But, you know, I've had like three or four different bosses in my time in youth ministry. Mm-hmm. So he or she may not be there forever. That might be a season. Or maybe the season is a lapse in your own personal motivation or drive or passion. And you might just be like, I thought I was passionate about youth ministry. I guess I'm not anymore. Mm. Well, maybe, or maybe it became a job and now you're tired and you're kind of passionless. It doesn't mean you're not meant for it. It yeah. just means you might need to like figure out how to get your mojo back and you might be able to. It just, we're not going to wake up every day with a student ministry fire in our hearts. Right. You know, some days we'll just plateau on our passion. And I think it's not sustainable to maintain high, high passion every single day. But if we never have passion, then we gotta kind of wonder. So maybe you're just like in a weird personal season and you don't have the same gusto you had at the beginning. It's kind of plateaued. It could come back just because you don't feel it. I think emotions are a really bad way to make decisions. And emotion isn't always a great indicator. You might be not have that fire in you right now, but you might still be effective. Mm-hmm. Like you could preach a great message and reach out to kids and show them who Jesus is and the love of God with little passion. You know, obviously we want it. I'm not saying passion in youth ministry doesn't matter.
It's overrated.
I'm just saying even people who love their job aren't passionate about it every single day, every single week, every single month.
Because there's so many, like you're saying, so many external factors.
So many external factors. That. Yeah. I mean, you might be off for a lot of reasons.
Right. And your team is supposed to be a Super Bowl contender and they're 1-3 right now with a quarterback who has a calf injury. And maybe it's really affecting your day-to-day life. For example.
Jeff, is throwing there some things you'd like to talk about?
No!
Are you mad at the Bengals?
Not here, not now.
He's mad at the Bengals. Well, Joe Burrow, if you're watching,
which you probably are, you get that calf figured out.
Figure out your cap.
Because I can't spend another Sunday like this. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're very sorry to hear that, Jeff. But you might just
I was just throwing that out. I was a hypothetical.
But yeah, I mean, you're going to ride highs and lows. And I just think some people think, well, I used to love it. Now I don't. Peace out. Yeah. Peace out, youth ministry world. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, wait it out. Mm-hmm. It could change. Okay. So number two, is it the job itself you want to quit, or do you want to quit the environment? Because those are hard to tell where one ends and the other begins because they're very interlocked. And can you really have the job without the environment or the environment without the job? But if you just hate youth ministry, okay, maybe it is time to quit. But if you hate doing youth ministry in your particular environment and that's what's making it hard for you, maybe don't be so quick to pull the, I always want to say ripcord. What do they push? The eject button when you fly out of a jet? I've seen Top Gun and Top Gun 2. Our car.
I don't think it's a little button, but we get the idea.
Boop. Eject. I'm sure it's like more of a lever. Pull the lever. Right? So I guess you could ask the question, can I do anything to improve my environment? So kind of this leadership mindset. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not the leader. Well, there's a way to lead actually your organization when you're not in charge. So I think a lot of people want to enjoy the benefits of a healthy environment. And they were like, well, I want to work in a healthy environment. But people usually don't think they can or don't want to be the one to build that healthy environment.
They kind of just want to be plugged into.
Yeah. And they think it's someone else above them's job to make the... Yeah. But let me just propose something to you really quick. Do you think, it's a question, I don't know the answer, do you think that perhaps God has put you in this particular church or this particular ministry or this particular environment so that you could be the agent of health? And if you think ministry is supposed to be just laid out before you and easy, I would challenge you to read any of the major or minor prophets of the Old Testament. And I would challenge you to read Paul's letters at all in the New Testament, because he worked with some very unhealthy churches. The major and minor prophets worked in some extremely unhealthy spiritual environments, and it was uphill, but they were supposed to be the agents of change in the house of God and call people back to health. Mm. And I think we think, well, it's a church. They're Christians. They should be doing that right, you know? And we have so much patience for the lost, and we want to reach the lost, but we have very little patience for the saved who are just clueless on how to do church well.
Right.
You know, and you could be the one to do it. Like, what if God, and the, to quote Esther, you know, and in such a time as this, what if God, when Mordecai says that to her, it's like, yeah, God has placed you in this time in history, in this church, in this city, in this job, maybe to be the agent of change to get this thing off the ground. And you might be waiting for your senior pastor to wake up and start implementing some healthy leadership principles, and they just may never put two and two together.
Right.
So one suggestion I would have is, we do this at our church, and it has proven to really move some things along. It's called Essentials. And so what we do once a year is we gather the whole staff, and they have these little squares, like they look like post-it notes. Some are blue, some are green, and some are red. And everyone gets three of each color, but you can have as many as you need, depending on what your situation's like. So the green is, let's celebrate what's going well. So everyone fills them out. And so we did ours today, actually. That's why I was thinking of it. So I wrote today, like, oh my gosh, our women's ministry is doing so well. You know, it's being a growth engine. There's so many women coming. It's doubled in size, like, awesome job. And then you have your red, and these are the things like, this is not working. So I wrote things like, you know, there's some aesthetic things going on, you know, in different parts of our church that we really need to call attention to. We have this culture of messiness. I think we need to button up this and that and whatever. And then there's blue, and blue is like blue sky thinking, like possibilities, like what's next. And so on that, that's like time to dream. Like, oh, you don't think of all the reasons why you couldn't do something. You just think, if we could do anything, this would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, you get to hear from everyone. I don't remember what I put for blue, or I would have told you. Ah, I wanted our children's ministry to have a team of people that like think it's the best place to serve ever, you know, because they need more volunteers. And so like getting more volunteers for our children's ministry and people that are going to stick around, like people that love, love, love being there. That's what we're doing. That's what I was hoping for them. So this just gives the opportunity to point out some areas where you see some unhealth, and everyone gets to chime in. And then from that point, you kind of group them into categories. And then in the weeks to come, this is where the hard work comes, because it's real easy to identify problems, but bringing solutions. Leaders always bring solutions, not just problems. So then as a team collectively, or bringing the right people to the table, you start to work on these problems. You prioritize them, not only work on the problems, but work on the blue sky stuff of like, hey, well, what could we be? What could we do? Mm-hmm. So start to, I mean, what if you were the one to suggest this to your senior pastor and you guys got a huge surge in health simply because people on staff were able to talk about, hey, like, this is a huge problem and we need to address it. You know, there might just not be a platform. Like, what do? Fill out a comment card like, hello, I don't like this about our church. Love me, the youth
John
pastor.
Doe.
I know him. You know, and so I think this is just one example, but could you be the agent of change for health in your church? Because if it's the environment you're leaving, try. Just please don't just ball it up and throw it away. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want our pastors to understand how much God loves the church and how much we need to love the church and how we need to give it our best before we throw in the towel. I think we live in a culture that is so quick to give up on people. Mm-hmm. I think we are so quick to give up on things that don't please us or fit us. And I've been super challenged by that lately of just like, don't be so quick to give up on things just because it doesn't suit me. But does God want you there? Can you make it better? Mm-hmm. Don't wait for somebody else. How can you make this environment what it is meant to be? You could be there for such a time as this.
And there could be a lot of opportunity for your church if you kind of address those things. But kind of like you were saying, most people miss opportunity because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to touch it. It's like, right. Oh, never mind. Going back to what you're saying, though, you said you do the essential meeting, you write all this stuff on post-it notes, and then you come back or you need to start doing mm-hmm. the work. How long of a time span are you talking about?
I mean,
about?
That could be a whole year.
Okay, so it's not like 1 week, everybody come back.
I think you could pick off things that are like, some of the stuff is so simple, you know, like someone's red thing today had to do with trash. And it's like, okay, well, let's break down the boxes and throw it away, right? But some things are going to take a long time to implement, like changing the whole culture of a particular ministry and its volunteers. So it's not like you give every, like, okay, like every week we solve a new problem, but we're constant. I think the worst thing is like, we brainstormed, yay, we did nothing with it.
Right.
You know?
So when you said that they come with solutions to the problem, is that within the original meeting? Or is that like, hey guys, think about it for a week or two and then we're going to come back?
Yeah. And it's not everybody. So like, there's some things that only our campus pastors and associate pastors will work on because it has to do with them. There's some things that only our admin will work on because that had to do with her. There's something that's meant only for our facilities team because it had to do with the building. And so they're going to be working on it. So you can dole out assignments of like, this is your stuff to work on. And then there's some stuff that the whole team probably needs to come together of like, hey, how are we going to take one step forward in solving this problem next week, you know, or something like that.
Okay.
It really depends on what the red and blue stuff are.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what's going to take up most of your time, the red and blue for sure.
And then I want to ask one more question. I think you're going to move on to your next point here, but within that meeting, because a lot of feelings can get hurt.
Yep.
How do you go about treading that? Like, how do you go about navigating the, like, because the other thing it could be is, children's ministry, everything going good. The senior pastor, everything going good. And all of a sudden, it's like youth ministry. It's like, oh my gosh, every red
and we've
card.
Had that.
So
yeah, it's hard. It is hard. We've had years church-wide, not just at our campus, where our red board was filled with one ministry. Everyone complained about that one ministry. They were a support ministry and everyone's complaining about it. Now we go into it with, hey, this is not about people. This is about if we're going to pursue health, there is a risk involved. Like there's a risk of feelings getting hurt, but there's a bigger risk if we don't say anything.
True.
So we're going to assume the best of each other and focus. We don't focus on people. We just focus on problems and systems, not, well, they didn't do their job.
Yeah.
They didn't return my email. And so it's not personal. It's just, hey, there's a system broken here. Let's fix it. We don't need to fix the person. We need to fix the system. And when we focus on that, it becomes less personal. And I'm sure it's still hard for people to hear. Anytime we hear, you know, criticism of the work we pour our life into, you know, it's hard to hear, but it's just necessary. But, you know, our pastor did a great job of setting it up today. And he's like, yeah, guys, there's some risk here, but there's a bigger risk if we don't speak up because we want to make this place the best it can possibly be. And we're a team and we're here to support and help each other. And so we just need to be ready to say what needs to be said. So if you don't have a team that has any level of trust at all, this is going to be really hard.
Yeah.
So I forget who it is who wrote Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Patrick Lencioni, maybe. That's the number one thing he talks about is like, you can't get anywhere if your team doesn't have trust. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I could never do this at my church. Like we would be at each other's throats. Okay, let's back up a second. Maybe we need to read Five Dysfunctions of a Team together and we need to at least lay some groundwork for the ability to speak truth to each other. And let's do some trust building things. So maybe that could be your first little baby step of being an agent of change is saying, hey, senior pastor or whoever's in charge of me, could we read Five Dysfunctions as a team, Five Dysfunctions of a Team as a team, you know, and kind of talk about it at our staff meetings. So something like that might be your first step if you're really like in the red with relational equity, you know, with people. So you do, there has to be a level of relational equity, trust, all that. I said a couple things today that were kind of hard to say, and I'm sure hard to hear. They weren't personal toward anyone, but it's like, well, I'm willing, I love our church. So I'm willing to take a little bit of a risk to make sure we constantly get better. But if I was already tension with someone and then I had to say something hard, it could, I mean, people would, I've heard of staff meetings going terribly wrong for that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's a good question.
We'll go ahead and link that book in the description below if you did want to take it, take a look at it, or, you know, give it for your team or something like that. So anyways, moving on next,
All right, next point. Number three, before you quit, could you develop your role into something else or something more that would help you enjoy it more or put kind of fresh wind into your sails? So maybe you're feeling a little stale or stagnant and you just have more in you and you're just like, yeah, I like my job, but I wonder before you quit, if you could absorb something else that might excite you and get you to use a different gear and think and work differently that would continue to fuel you. Because sometimes I think youth pastors are such capable leaders and they just want more. Like it's just, they want a bigger net to cast of their ministry. So maybe it's just you are ready for something else and it might not need to be a whole other ministry or a whole other church. Couldn't you expand your role right where you are? Here's some thoughts for that. What if you led a missions trip? What if you took, it doesn't even have to be for youth. Like what if you led the Israel trip for your church or something? What if you led and taught parent workshops? You know youth better than anyone at the church. So maybe a couple Saturdays or I don't know, after church on a Sunday, you do some parenting workshops and teach parents how to navigate social media with their kid or something like that. What if you got to, maybe you don't get to teach on the main stage, but what if you got to do part of the service? Like I've got to teach communion before or lead communion or do that 5 or 10 minute portion. It's a lot of fun and it uses a different, like speaking in front of adults and preparing a different way. And, you know, there's a whole other challenge there. Maybe you know that kind of going back to our previous point, maybe you know that your staff needs your church staff, not like your volunteers, your youth ministry staff, but the church staff needs some team fun and you can be in charge of the team fun night, like plan our pastor planned like a roller skating night in the church. It was so fun because we have really smooth floors. So we rented roller skates, brought in sushi and played 70s music and we all dressed up. It was so fun. You know, like does your staff need an injection of fun? Could you plan a fun lake day or bike ride? I don't know, something that you guys would enjoy doing, a silly bowling thing, whatever. So I don't know. You could head up something new. And a lot of senior pastors, I feel like if you bring the idea and you bring the know-how and the passion, what are they going to do? Say, no, you can't plan a fun night for our staff. Like they're not, I mean, who would say no to that? I think, again, we sit back and say, well, we never do anything fun. Why? It's like, okay, then plan it. You know, if you need something more to add to your role to make it more dynamic for you, here's some examples and there's plenty more of things you could absorb maybe to kick you into a new gear that will re-excite you. I heard this great devotion today from a passage. I know I've read it because I've read the whole Bible, but I don't remember it at all. It's from 2 Kings, and it's Elisha. He's about to die, and he's talking to King Joash. And this is 2 Kings 13. And he's telling King Joash, like, how to defeat the Syrians, and that because they're going to battle and God is going to be with him. And he says, like, open the east window and start just shooting your arrows, shoot your arrows, shoot your arrows. And Joash is kind of like timid. He's like, okay, whatever. And just starts like, yay, like 1, 2, 3, I did it. And then this is what Elisha says to him. He says in verse 18, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. And it's kind of like this weird story. Like, what does shooting arrows out your window have to do with Syria and like whatever? But if you don't use Enduring Word for your sermon prep, I highly encourage it, enduringword.com. And I was looking at the commentary for it, and it was like, he makes this whole connection of like, just keep shooting your arrows, right? Like, that's where the victory is. Like, we stop shooting sometimes. We just, I don't have enough passion to shoot. Mm. I don't have enough faith to shoot. I'm kind of done. I think I've shot all my arrows. Like, what is there left to do? And it's just this encouragement of like continuing in faith of like, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep doing what God has created me and asked me to do, because there is a victory. And even when we get kind of complacent and we lose enthusiasm and we're just like, where's the victory? I've been doing this for a while. Nothing ever changes. Everything's always the same. I love that story of like, if you had shot more, you would have won more. Like, yeah, just keep going, because God might not be done with you yet. And the cool thing is, imagine if he had shot more arrows, he would have got more victories. It's like, oh, you shot 3, you get 3 victories. Yeah. But what's that saying? You miss
100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah. So I think maybe that came from this story. Who knows?
So it's what verse in Kings?
2 Kings 13, 18.
And then it's quoted by Wayne Gretzky, quoted by Michael Scott. So it's 3 down.
Whoa, the Bible is powerful. I just think that's crazy though. So what, I guess we're going to boil it down and end here of like, what shots do you need to take to get that victory? Like, is it just over? Is it just, or is like, whoa, look at all these arrows. What if I did this? What if I did this? What if I did this? Just keep shooting arrows and see where the victory
lies. Not literally
lies.
Though, because that could be a whole other problem in your staff meeting. I have eliminated all of my problems, and it only took 4 arrows.
That's a small staff. JD, our campus professor, he actually did bring his bow and arrow, and he shot some arrows today.
In the church?
It was out the window at a haystack. A bale of hay, I guess. Just
depending on which window, that could have been a problem.
It was the garage door thing he opened. Oh, okay. Yeah, so he had plenty of room. But yeah, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So keep shooting, guys. Just shoot your arrows. Where's the victory? Let's keep going. So that's a little encouragement for you. Yeah.
We did a while back an episode called How to Find Motivation During Frustration. If you do want to take a look at that, just to kind of continue the discussion here, we'll link that in the comment section below. But right now we're going to go into a question of the day, and we really want you guys to answer this if you're watching on YouTube, because it's going to tell a lot about you. And we are going to pour our hearts out
too
right now.
No, it's not going to tell a lot about you. I hope not.
It would be a funny thing to write down. Or scary, depending on who you are. The question is, what was the thing you got in the most trouble at school for?
Okay. I could probably think of one where I got in more trouble. I mean, no. Okay, this is probably the pinnacle of my consequences. So, used to pack cup of noodles for lunch, and my school was great. They would put out hot water, and because we all would bring cup of noodles. So, unfortunately, we forgot forks that day. So cup of noodles, no forks, obviously use your hands, right?
Gross.
So we are just putting our hands in the soup and eating the noodles. And this noon duty came up and she's like, that is unsanitary. Is it?
She's not wrong.
And here is our consequence. We had this thing at my school called Red Feet, and there were these two footprints on the blacktop that were like red. And when you got in trouble, you just had to go stand on Red Feet. Like a timeout, I guess. And I was in elementary school until the time was up or whatever. So she's like, that is unsanitary. And I was like, I don't have a fork. And she's like, you need to go stand on Red Feet. So I had to stand on Red Feet for eating cup of noodles with my hands because I didn't have a fork.
That kind of seems like an overreaction from here.
I agree. That's not the worst thing I did, but that was the worst consequence, because the worst thing I did was also at lunch. We had Lunchables, and it's those little discs of turkey,
yeah,
and those little squares of cheese. And one of our noon duties had left her car windows cracked.
Same noon duty teacher?
No, different one. And we were trying to see if we could get, like, from like where we were sitting,
like, yeah, a youth group game,
throw the turkey in her car. And I made a few, but they didn't know who did it. And so nobody would confess. And then I felt bad and I went up and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I threw the Lunchables in your car. And she goes, oh, Kristen, I would have never guessed you. And that made me feel even more bad. I was like, my reputation's gone. But she didn't give me a consequence. She just, I mean, her disappointment was my consequence.
Ooh, ouch. What is it that parents always say? It's,
I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. That's more of a consequence. In first grade, it was at the bus stop going to school, which I kind of feel like shouldn't
have
been.
Don't try to justify
this. No. The action was bad. I feel like it should not have been the school to discipline me.
Because it happened off of school.
Because it happened off school property. And we weren't even in school.
Yeah.
So just putting that out there. But I threw a tiny rock at Bobby Brohard. He was like, I was in first grade. He was in fourth grade. And it hit him in the neck and he cried, like the back of his neck.
I don't think you feel bad about it.
I feel bad for Bobby, although he was kind of a jerk. But it was more, I remember just, I'm like, oh, he's crying. Oh, well, you know, like, so we went to school. Like, everything is totally fine. And then I get pulled out of class and they're like, oh, you know, the principal's yelling at me and stuff like that. And I was kind of like, what are we talking about here? And then I figured out, it's like, oh, you mean the thing that happened like at home, basically? I'm like, we get in trouble at school for those things too?
Uh-huh.
So I got, it was confusing for a first grader, but I got detention, but it was kind of like Red Feet, but it was like for the next, I think they said for the week, you have to stay on like this one area during your recess period. And I thought it was just for the first day. So I went there and paid my sentence. And then the next day I didn't go. And then I got in more trouble, which I didn't know I was supposed to keep going.
Ooh.
But to this day, I'm still like, I don't know, like maybe a stern talking to, but it's like, what? I mean, that was
maybe because it was the bus stop and it was like,
okay, what if it was like, not to be a technicality, but it's like, what if it was walking to the bus stop? What if it was really early in the morning, you know, like, or the bus drops us off and we're walking home and then something happens? I don't know. I am still a little miffed at that.
Well, if that hadn't happened, you would have never got a consequence. So maybe that was God avenging Bobby Brohard.
Could be. Yeah, maybe.
Because you wouldn't have gotten a consequence, so there you go.
I wouldn't, and I definitely deserve the consequence. No, ifs, ands, or buts.
Hey, if Bobby's out there, what would you like to say?
Bobby, I apologize for hitting you in the back of the neck with a rock, but...
nope, just leave it at that. No, healing. It's healing.
But
hey, do we have a comment of the day?
I went to, this was an at-home issue that needed to get addressed. Let's do a community comment of the day. This comes from S81116.
This is an AI robot.
Thanks, AI. He or she writes, game changer, pun intended.
Hey.
I'm so glad to have stumbled upon this podcast. Kristen and Jeff are the perfect team and so fun to listen to. The things I've learned have been invaluable and they willingly share resources. We now have played 7 of their games and my kids have loved them all, which is saying something for my picky group. Thanks for what you guys are doing. Cannot rate this highly enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you, 187187.
Thanks, AI, for writing a great podcast review. No, thank you, you really do. Appreciate you guys watching and listening, and we will see you next time.
Today we're talking all about how to unstick your stuckness. I think just may never put two and two together.
Right.
So excuse me. So one suggestion. I said excuse me.
Don't do that, kids. Stay in school. All right.